Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You got a problem? Anybody here got any problem? Oh, Lord, I can't handle this. This is too much. God has probably put around you and me those who can come along your side and my side and help us, and we just sit there whining and complaining about the problem we have when he's given us all we need to do the task that he has for you and the task that he has for me, just like he did for Mo. Exactly like he did.
The truth is, if you remember who God is, you'll never walk in fear. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Remember, and shares some of the powerful truths you should never forget about God, because they'll see you through the darkest days. Stay with us and hear more from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Remember.
We've been reading all of this about Moses for a long time, right? Have you ever seen so many rules and regulations and principles and feasts and laws and understanding and interpretation in your entire life? I mean, you read Exodus, 40 chapters of them. Numbers, 27 chapters. Leviticus, we move on, 36 chapters. Deuteronomy, 34 chapters. It's Moses, 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 and Moses. All the rules, the regulations. What in the world is going on here? We have to understand this, and this will help us make sense out of what we've been reading. Israel had been in slavery 400 years. Moses led them out of slavery to establish a new nation, a new people, a new race, a new understanding of God. It's like this section of our worshiping congregation. You have been selected. You've been in slavery 400 years. You think like a slave. You act like a slave. This is all you've known, your great, 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 great grandchildren. And now you're brought out and you are liberated. And all you know is how all of these other pagans have been living all these years. And you think like a slave. You act like a slave. You don't understand freedom. All of these slaves out into freedom. So what we've been reading are how you establish a nation that is peculiar and unique and looks to God as holy. The purpose was to establish a peculiar, unique, holy people unto God so that these people would communicate to all the rest of us the truth about the nature and character of God Almighty. And once the Messiah would come through these people that he has singled out on the earth. That's the reason you have to have all of this, a new nation, a new people. When America was established, what did they do? Our Constitution, our bylaws, our rules, a government under law. And what we have here, in all that we've been studying, and mostly in the life of Moses, we have, first of all, we have civil law. You have to have civil law. And then there's ceremonial law. You have to have ceremonial law to keep history and religion in right perspective, relationship with God. Then you have to have moral law, and that's in commandments. And people ask, well, why don't we do all this today? That was for that period of time, that era of history, that era of God working with his unique people so they could bring the message of God to all the rest of the world. And ceremonial law and civil law is now passed, but the moral law built around the commandments still stands. Does that help us understand all that we've been reading and we've been confused about, all the minutiae, all the activities of how if someone cannot sleep with their uncle's wife and all the rest of it you've read, right? Moses trying to, on behalf of God, build these people who will look upon the Almighty as holy. And what a man Moses was. Moses wrote more of the Bible than any other single individual, Moses. The second person that wrote the most, you'll never guess, would be Ezra. You never guessed him. Third would be Luke. Fourth would be Paul. So you look at the Bible and the amount that you have there, Moses is way, way ahead of anyone else who wrote Holy Scripture inspired by God. How important he is, and how God orchestrated his life for purpose. God worked in Moses in marvelous ways. And by the way, you could pick out anybody here, boop, just pluck you out of the congregation, stand anybody up here, and after a period of time, we'd begin to see what God had planned and purposed for that life, because he has a plan and a purpose for every single life. We need to understand that. But we see Moses' purpose in the world was just overwhelming. Here he was, a throwaway baby in the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter comes and brings him up as her own son, and he is brought up as royalty. Think about it. The best food, the best education, the best clothes, all the prestige that you would have being a part of Pharaoh's family. Think about it. Brought up as royalty. 40 years of his life. Then all of a sudden we see a temper flare up and he kills an Egyptian who's abusing an Israelite. Moses had a temper. And we see because of that, he went to Midian and he stayed in Midian for 40 years out in the middle of nowhere where there was rocks and sheep and animals. And he was a nobody for 40 years. First 40 years, he was a somebody. Second 40 years, he was a nobody. But those two periods of his life, 80 years, prepared him for his purpose God had for him, which was to bring his peculiar people out of slavery and to build a new nation that was holy unto God, who could communicate the purpose and the holiness of God to the rest of the world. So we see even when he was a nobody, he was discovering how to live in wildernesses, how to live in a barren place, how to live where there was desolation. See how God used him when he was royalty? God used him when he was nobody to prepare him to be God somebody as he brought the Israelites out of captivity, brought them out of captivity into a new nation. So we see these watersheds in his life. He's out there in Midian, and one day he sees a bush. It's burning. By the way, that's not the first bush he'd ever seen on fire. You'd see bush fires out there in the wilderness area. A bush was burning. So what? But Moses, with his astute observation, discovered the bush burned and burned and burned, and it didn't burn up. It wasn't consumed. He said, oh, this is some kind of special bush, some kind of holy bush. One commentator says, we look at that burning bush that did not burn up. We say, boy, that was some special bush. He said, no. When God's in a bush, any old bush will do. That's the important thing. When God's in your life or my life, nobody's special. Just any old life will do when God is in that life. So this bush was burning, and Moses bowed down and received a commission to God to go back and use his ability to communicate with royalty. Not everybody could do that. He was brought up in the palace. So he communicates with Pharaoh and those 10 plagues, and then we see his temper flaring up again between the 9th and 10th plague. God told him, Pharaoh's not going to listen. And Pharaoh didn't listen. And Moses got mad about it. God told him Pharaoh wasn't going to listen. His temper flares up again. And we see this temper flare up all the way through Moses as he led them over through the sea, led them into the wilderness area, and he led them all the way to the foot of Mount Sinai, into this barren area called the wilderness, a place of nothingness. And then he goes up on that mountain 40 days, and God writes his moral law for his people down on those tablets, and he comes down, and what does he find? He finds those previously known as slaves, now they were still slaves, and they start acting like a slave because they begin to worship as they saw the Egyptians worshiping. And the Bible tells us that Aaron had gold and silver brought, and he formed a golden calf, and they were bowing down and worshiping a golden calf. And Moses comes down and says, what is this? What are you doing? And Aaron says, well, you know, I just took some gold and silver and threw it in the fire, and boom, automatic calf. Supernatural. Moses laughed at that. He was so angry at the idolatry of God's people that he, in anger, threw down the tablets on which God had written the 10 basic moral laws. Temper. Moses' temper. And we see this all the way through. And now suddenly, he's at the foot of Mount Sinai in our scripture. And all this time, remember, the cloud had told them exactly where they were to live, how they were to move. And now the cloud begins to move. So they see it's time now to go into the promised land. But look what we have with God's peculiar people. That's all of you, by the way. Look what he has here in chapter 11 of Numbers. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. And then jump down, if you would, to verse number 4. Now, the mixed multitude, that was the rabble. Anytime God's doing something, you're going to have the rabble. You notice that if God's not doing anything, there won't be those rabble rousers. There won't be those rebellious people. God's doing something, here's a rabble. The mixed multitude, people just follow along with God's people. They know the language of the kingdom, but they don't live according to the principles of the kingdom. We got a lot of that, do we not? And the rabble were among them, yielded to intense craving. What is intense craving? They were addicted. Look what they were addicted to. We identify with this. So the children of Israel also wept aloud and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is being dried up. There's nothing all to eat except manna before our eyes. You know what the word manna means? What is it? Manna, what is it? Here's manna. That was the food that God gave to his people to eat. Water was provided. Food was now provided. And they had it up to here with manna. The next verse, it tells us they had fried manna. They had boiled manna. They had filleted manna. They had mixed manna up as desserts. They prepared manna with 1,001 recipes. And they said, we are sick and tired of manna. We want meat. Meat. They complained. God got angry, and look what happened to Moses. Read in verse number 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, even at the foot of the tent. They were outside the tabernacle weeping. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses was also displeased. Moses was depressed. That's the word. And Moses said to the Lord, now Moses is not only depressed, he's angry at God. Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? He said, was I the mother of all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I, Moses asked God, to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone, said Moses, because the burden is too heavy for me. And if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my own wretchedness. Here is Moses, this great guy, who's fighting with a temper and now with depression. He gets mad, now he's depressed. He's depressed and now he gets mad. He's mad at God. He's depressed because the people are still rebellious and they're not following their principles. They don't realize this is the way, the path to freedom. And now we see God's answer to Moses, and it is just as usual, right on target to all of this. Look what he says. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then God says, I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you, Moses. I'll put that same spirit upon them, and you shall bear the burden of the people with you, and you may not bear it yourself alone. What's he saying? He said, Moses, look at all these people. You have got all of these people here who have the talent to go and help you. You're complaining to me about, oh, this job is too big. I've got 2 million people to look after here. I just can't do it. Man, pick out 70 elders here, and they'll help you do the job. And God says, the spirit I've given to you, I will implant in those elders. You got a problem? Anybody here got any problem? Oh, Lord, I can't handle this. This is too much. God has probably put around you and me those who can come along your side and my side and help us, and we just sit there whining and complaining about the problem we have when he's given us all we need to do the task that he has for you and the task that he has for me, just like he did for Mo, exactly like he did. And then we see the rest of it here. It gets even clearer here for it. He says, and you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. God said, I'm going to give the people meat. Huh. That you may have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and become loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? You sometimes, boy, I sure do wish for the good old days. Be careful what you wish for, ladies and gentlemen. look back on the good old days, they may not be as good as you remember them to be. When I was a boy in our yard, we had what I call the big tree. When I was little, I'd go out and say, Mama, I'm going to go and climb in the big tree. I went home a few years ago, went to my old house there, looked, and I wanted to see the big tree. It's about this high. I said, surely that's not the big tree. I remember those limbs, those branches, they're still there. You see, they looked back and said, boy, we were slaves in Egypt. We had fish and we had melons and we had onions. We had garlic. We had all these vegetables and now we don't have any meat to eat. Listen, they had the leftovers from the masters. They were slaves. But they remember it in a different way. They wanted to go back into slavery because they couldn't handle freedom. They couldn't handle the manna that God had provided for them, which was a supernatural gift. We want meat. Look at verse 21. Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you said, I will give meat that they should eat for a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Of all the fish of the sea be gathered for them to provide meat for them? See, Moses is doubting God can provide meat for the children. Now here God had been provided with manna and water for 2 million people. Now they want meat. And Moses says, well, God, I don't see how in the world you can provide meat for them. But look what God did. Look at verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see what I say to you will happen.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. 2 Peter 1:4. The Bible is filled with tremendous promises, hundreds of them, that God has given to you and to me. These promises are available to enrich every area of our lives. But a promise, in one sense, is like a three-legged stool. You have to know about the promise, that is one leg. You have to understand the promise, that's the second leg. And then you have to appropriate and claim the promise, that's the third leg. Do you want to realize all the promises God has for you? The first step is pretty clear, isn't it? Get into God's Word, read it, and become aware of all the promises God is waiting to give to you. Then pray that God will help you understand and claim all His wonderful, magnificent, extravagant promises. What are you waiting for?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In His 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young closes out his message with more on what God wants you to always remember about Him and His love for you.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.